Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sorley takes and wants to throw on first down. Waits, delivers, downfield, Hamilton, great catch, climbing the ladder at the 39, first down. 2:22 to go in the half. Barkley to the left of McSorley. High snap, takes the snap, flies up over the top, touchdown, Penn State. Back goes O'Connor. Time, runs out of time, down he goes, back on the 7-yard line. Curtis Cochran leads the way for Penn State with Evan Schwann. There's the snap, back goes McSorley. Sets, waits, delivers, wide open at the 5, has got one, he's got it, touchdown! Penn State, the Nittany Lions take the lead. Outstanding blitz pickup by Saquon Barkley. O'Connor, shovel pass, got buried for a loss back at the 23-yard line. Perfectly read that time by Torrance Brown. Here's the snap. It's going to be Andre Robinson. 50, 45. Robinson to the Michigan State 43-yard line and a first down for Andre Robinson. Sorley waits, takes the snap. Back, waits, some time, runs out of time. Sees the opening, now delivers deep downfield. Gasicki at the 5, reaches up, he's got it. Touchdown, Penn State! Play action, McSorley, late blitz, down the middle, deep, Goblin, got it, 25-20, 15, Penn 5, touchdown, Penn State! What a third quarter for the Nittany Lions! Takes the snap back, O'Connor, running out of time, steps away, spun around, and down he goes! Kevin Givens and the Nittany Lions have a third quarter to remember. It's going to be Robinson left side to the 10 to the 5. Andre Robinson, touchdown, Penn State. Game, set, and Eastern Division Championship Nittany Lions. In the gun, trips near side, Johnson to the far side. Takes the snap, back to pass. Throws over the middle, Robinson, 30, 25, 20. Robinson, blocked from Johnson to the 10 to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. And what was thought to be an impossibility in September is now a Thanksgiving weekend reality. The Nittany Lion football team is going to the Big Ten championship game. They are the Eastern Division champions.
We do a great job of adjusting and not panicking. We got to do a better job of doing that throughout the game. But just in general, I'm just so proud of these guys. All the lettermen flying in from all over the country meant the world to us. The fans, unbelievably supportive. It just shows you, when you stay positive, you stick together as a community, you can do wonderful things. This team just keeps overachieving, and we got more work to do, so we're going to stick together and stick to the process.
Another great weekend here at Penn State, and this team continues to amaze. I think nationally they continue to confuse. And that has been, I think, one of the primary problems that I think the national pundits have had with Penn State. I don't think they know what to make of them. And I think that has been, I think what's happened to Penn State has completely caught them off guard. And I believe that in the end, that's one of the issues that you're seeing here right now. Okay. Is that I just don't think they know what to make of it. And look, I talked years ago, just so you know, this is something I was talking to Billy Packer years ago. And I asked him, I said, you know, what does it take with the enormity of the NCAA basketball tournament for you to get ready for the tournament and all the potential teams that could be there? And he said, well, you know, what I do is I really lock in on 15 to 20 teams that I think have a legitimate shot of advancing and could be in the conversation to be in the Sweet 16, Elite 8, and so forth. He said, well, that's what I do. He said, if there's a surprise, then
he said, then I deal with the surprise. But usually that's a surprise. I think what's happened here with Penn State nationally is that at the end of September, they are not on the radar. Thus, there's not a level of concentration about them. And then they go out and they beat Minnesota in overtime. And around here, everybody's feeling good about the fact that they rallied twice in that game. And in overtime, they won in dramatic fashion. So people are feeling good about their team. Not nationally. Nationally, at that point, you're a 3-2 football team. Then Maryland came in here undefeated. And some people thought, hey, this is Maryland's time. You know, they're undefeated. Penn State's 3-2. And Penn State wins the game with relative ease. I mean, the game really, in the end, is not that close. Okay, now you're 4-2. And you get a bye week. Bye week's well-timed, just what the doctor ordered. I mentioned at the time that it was perfect timing for the bye week. Then they played Ohio State. And, of course, you know nationally the concentration is on Ohio State. And you can tell when people don't know what to do with something they don't expect. They struggle with it. And a lot of people did not expect Penn State to win. Thus, the word fluke started being used about how Penn State won the game. But if you look back on the game itself, Ohio State, to its credit, for the first 37 minutes of that game, is playing really well. Penn State, you know, with the exception of one drive, is struggling moving the football. Ohio State has Barrett, and they're leading the game 21-7. That's the first 37 minutes. But no one has been able to explain yet why, in the final 23 minutes, Penn State outscored Ohio State 17-0. I haven't heard anybody attempt to explain that, except with the exception of Joey Galloway. I've heard him explain, hey, look, you know, I keep hearing it's a fluke to block kicks. He said, are you the same people that say that special teams is 1/3 of the game? But it was more than just the block kicks. Yeah, the block punt set up a field goal. Obviously, the block field goal was a touchdown. But it doesn't explain away why Penn State shut out Ohio State the last 23 minutes, where that blocked field goal was the only scoring opportunity they had in the final 23 minutes. It doesn't explain the long drive that Penn State put together to get a touchdown. It doesn't explain the 17-0 in the final 23 minutes, where down the stretch Penn State made all the big plays. Penn State made all the big stops, and Ohio State made none. Ohio State didn't make any big plays the last 23 minutes. Ohio State didn't make any big stops the last 23 minutes. Ohio State didn't come up with a takeaway the last 23 minutes. They did not come up with a special teams play the final 23 minutes. They came up with none. Zero. Penn State came up with all of them. So Penn State now wins the game. So now, okay, now we have to deal with Penn State. But the next week you go out, you beat Purdue, and you win big, and you're expected to do that. Okay. So that's not going to garner you anything. Then you play Iowa. And you do something to Iowa that nobody's done this year. You know, Iowa's losses are all close losses. You know, Wisconsin was 17-9. North Dakota State was 2 points. Northwestern was a shootout by less than a touchdown. And Penn State blows them out 41-14. In fact, the game is never close. Now everybody's looking around, and suddenly they have to, well, wait a minute, what do we know about this team? Yeah, the Ohio State game is a fluke. It's a fluke. Now what do we do with them? And then they go to Indiana, and they rally and win. Then they do what you're supposed to. You're supposed to go to Rutgers. You're supposed to win. Not only that, you're supposed to shut them out. They did. That's not a knock against Rutgers, not in the least. It is just a fact of life today. Michigan went in there and shut them out big. Ohio State shut them out big. Michigan State shut them out big. Well, Penn State's expected to go in there and shut them out big, and they did. Then we get to Michigan State last week. Now, what did we hear over and over again about Michigan State the entire week? Well, they're much better than their record. Much better than their record. And I completely agree with that. Michigan State, and I said that during the week, Michigan State is no question. You look at the tapes, they're better than the record. They are. But I was on two shows over the weekend. Actually, I was on two shows on Saturday. And one of them was in Atlanta. And I didn't leave to go over to the game until about to about 1 o'clock I left. So I was on in Atlanta at 12:40. So I'm sitting here and I'm watching the Ohio State-Michigan game. And they asked about, you know, Michigan State being better than their record. And I said, look, I said, there's no question that you look at the tapes, Michigan State absolutely is better than its record. I said, but you know what? I haven't heard anybody talk about this. And he said, well, what's that? I said, Penn State is its record. In other words, Penn State is a really good football team. They're 9-2. They're now 10-2. Now, I mentioned 9-2. 9-2 was going into the game. I said, you know, look at them now. They're a 10-2 football team. Penn State is its record. They are 10-2. Also consider this along the way. In this era of you don't know what to do with a team that does something you don't expect. And again, Penn State is doing something that nationally the pundits, the experts, whatever you wish to call them, they don't know a lot about this team because they were never on the radar until late. Clemson, they know a lot about. Michigan, they know a lot about. Washington, they know a lot about. They know a lot about Ohio State. They know a lot about Alabama. Maybe not so much about Wisconsin, and they definitely don't know a lot about Penn State. They know a lot more about Oklahoma than they do about Penn State. Remember, Oklahoma started in the number three spot. So they know a lot about them. Penn State didn't start in any spot. Didn't start in any spot. And I think they don't know what to do with them. But I want everyone to remember this. In the Big Ten, at the moment, the three longest winning streaks are Penn State has won 8 in a row. Wisconsin has won 6 in a row. Ohio State has won 5 in a row. Iowa has won 4 in a row. And Michigan has lost 2 of its last 3 games. Remember, Michigan, which is, I think, a very good football team, but remember, they've played 8 games at home. 8. They went out on the road finally and played at Iowa. Didn't win. Close game, didn't win. At Ohio State, close game, didn't win. Penn State's won 8 in a row. Wisconsin's won 6 in a row. Ohio State's won 5 in a row. Iowa's won 4 in a row. Michigan has lost 2 of its last 3 games. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. That we don't know is, to be honest with you, we don't know how the committee thinks. And so we don't know. I mean, every week that you listen to them as to what they say are the important components, it seems like every week it's new and it's a moving target. And for Penn State fans, nobody's used to that right now because Penn State hasn't been in this position. It's the first time they've ever been in a position with a committee trying to determine what their fate is besides, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to make a deal with the Orange Bowl to go there. Or we're going to make a deal to go to the Sugar Bowl to go there, whatever. That's the way the old days used to go. Hey, you know, the Fiesta Bowl, we're going to set it up. And the Fiesta Bowl is going to outbid the Citrus Bowl, and Penn State's going to play Miami there. That's what people have been used to here for decades and decades. College Football Playoff Committee is a new deal. And nobody really knows what they think. My suggestion for the College Football Playoff Committee for the off season would be this. The NCAA Tournament Selection Committee in recent years, has invited members of the media to sit in on a mock selection so that they can sit in the room for a day. Is it a day or 2 days? One or the other. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, a day. And the members of the media get to see, okay, what data am I looking at? What am I looking at schedule-wise? What am I looking at conference? What analytics do I have? How much does the eyeball test come in? How do I feed teams? And it's at least given members of the media a better idea of how the NCAA Basketball Tournament Selection Committee operates. The College Football Playoff Committee has never done that. And my strong suggestion would be that they set up a mock somewhere in the off season. I don't care whether it's May, June, July, whatever. A mock session where people can sit in with them from the media and hear how they go through a selection process each week. Not a selection process, but a ratings process each week. They're snapshots as to how they arrive at their snapshot analysis of how they get to 1 to 25. And I think it would be invaluable if they did that, because I know those who have sat in on the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament Committee, it's been at least invaluable to them to at least give them some insight, while not perfect. Now, Seth Greenberg, who's going to be on the show at 4:35, when I bring this up to him, he'll, I think, have some really interesting opinions about how they go about it. But at the same time, I think that you're going to, I think you at least need to give at least some insight as to how it works, instead of having them explain to us how it works. And it's not something they should do now. They're in the process of doing this now. At some point when it's a more relaxed atmosphere, for example, this mock selection always takes place in February in Indianapolis. And I think it's been invaluable for members of the media at least to get some idea as to how it works. With the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, I think everybody's only guessing how it works. And I think that that would be, I think, fruitful for everyone to see how it does work. Just a thought. Matt Leon coming up next. KYW in Philadelphia. Eagles take on the Packers tonight. Seth Greenberg, final half hour today on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have just been great over the years. The way they've served their clients, because they know that customer service means everything. I mean, it's a people business. They have to know how much you care about your life, your belongings, whatever it happens to be. And they understand that it means so much. I don't care whether it's your car or whether it's your home or where your business. Something ever happens, they want to make sure you're covered. Simple as that. They get you the best insurance that you're covered at the right price, because budget's important. And if something happens, act as if it happened to them. You mean everything to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Very pleased to be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt Leon in just a few moments. Time now for This Day in Sports History. And then we'll talk about the Eagles and Packers tonight. It was in 1929 that the great Ernie Nevers of the Chicago Cardinals set an NFL record when he scored 40 points in a game. He scored 6 touchdowns and he kicked 4 extra points. 1969, the New York Knicks set an NBA record when they won their 18th consecutive game. That was the 69-70 Knicks, who, by the way, won the NBA championship. 1977, Sports Illustrated did a cover story on this college basketball player from Indiana State, known as college basketball's secret weapon. His name? Larry Bird. A secret no longer. 1979, Billy Smith of the New York Islanders became the first goalie in NHL history to get credit for a goal. Smith was the last Islander to touch the puck before Rob Ramage of the Colorado Rockies put it into his own net. The Rockies, by the way, are now the New Jersey Devils. Now, this is different than Ron Hextall, obviously, who shot the puck into the opposing team's net. Ron Sutter in 1982. This is remarkable. Think about this. Ron Sutter began his NHL career as a Philadelphia Flyer. With his start, a record was set when five brothers all played in the NHL at the same time. Brian with St. Louis. Daryl with Chicago. He's now the head coach of the Kings. Brent with the Islanders. Dwayne with the Islanders. Ron's twin brother, Rich, then signed with the Penguins a year later. And you had six Sutter brothers in the NHL all at the same time. Remarkable. 2002, Michael Jordan of the Washington Wizards announced that he would retire for the third and final time at the end of the NBA season. This time he meant it. Seriously, I mean it. I'm retiring. Seth Greenberg, by the way, next hour. Okay? Of course, tonight will be the Packers and the Eagles. You hear it on Eagle 107. By the way, congratulations to Merrill Reese, Eagles Hall of Famer. How about that, Sean?
40 years behind the microphone, and we're going to get in touch with Merrill tomorrow morning. He'll hopefully be with us tomorrow afternoon. Keep our fingers crossed.
Oh, I hope it.
Or for later in the week. So, well deserved.
Very well deserved. All right, let's bring in Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia. Matt, welcome. Great to hear you.
Great to be heard.
All right, let's start with obviously Green Bay and Philadelphia tonight. It's got the makings of a dynamic game because I think they're both evenly, I think it's an evenly matched game. Philadelphia, where are a couple of advantages you think they have going in, and what concerns you going in?
Well, I think you're always concerned when you're facing Aaron Rodgers. I think Green Bay's got a lot of issues. I've watched a lot of Green Bay this year. They are the Packers that I think most fans know really by name only. They've got serious defensive deficiencies. They struggle to run the ball when they even try to run the ball. But when you've got Aaron Rodgers, you've got a guy that is capable of taking a team on his back for one, two, three games at a time. So you've always got to be wary of that. But I feel a lot of stuff for me points to the Eagles in this one. Past Aaron Rodgers in their passing game, as I said, they don't scare you running the football. Their secondary is beat up and bad. They're a defense that's allowed like 34 points a game the last four games. Now, granted, the Eagles don't exactly have the greatest show on turf at the outside receiver position, but I would be surprised if they don't show an ability to move the football. And the Eagles defense has played very well at home. It's been a mediocre bunch on the road, but I think for whatever reason, we've got enough data now to say that when they play at the link, they're an elite defense. So I think they will be able to keep Green Bay relatively in check offensively, and I think the Eagles should be able to score points. I really like the Eagles in this one.
You said for whatever reason on defense playing well at home, and what might be a couple of those reasons you'd at least consider why the defense play so well at home?
Yeah, because it's not even matchups. They played some good teams here. They had Cleveland early, but I mean Pittsburgh, Minnesota. I know Minnesota struggled, but at the time they were 5-0. Atlanta is one of the most dynamic offenses in football. They've all come in here and they haven't just not scored a ton of points. They've all come in here and they've all looked pretty bad. But right. The Eagles defense has earned this. This hasn't been a team dropping the football all over the place and stuff like that. Obviously there's an emotional edge of being at home. And now you got to think it's kind of a mental thing, too, where, you have some success at home games like this, and it kind of breeds success because guys expect to have success. Just the other way, the Eagles are struggling on the road, so now you imagine even though they're battling and trying, in the back of their minds, the first time something goes wrong, oh, here we go again. So, that's got to be the start, at least a big part of it, because scheme. Your scheme is your scheme. Whether you're in Seattle, whether you're in the backyard, whether you're at the lake, what you do is what you do. So it's really fascinating that they have such different levels of success at home and on the road.
How tough has the Lane Johnson situation been for them to overcome at times?
Early on, I think it was trouble. I think you look back at that Washington game they lost. You can kind of point to that, really. I think that the Lane Johnson suspension really played a part in that. But the kid, Vitae, has played well. Now, he's out tonight with a knee injury, so you'll have Alan Barber sliding over to tackle, right, and Stephen Wisniewski will play guard. But, some people have pointed a line to that, and yes, they did start 3-0, and since the Lane Johnson suspension, they're 2-5. Since that Washington game, I really don't think that the drop-off has been that severe that you point to and go, well, they've really been really struggled because of the Lane Johnson. Has it helped? No, of course not. But I don't, the biggest difference maybe is that Washington game. So if Lane Johnson plays these games in an alternate universe, I think the Eagles are probably sitting here 6-4 rather than 5-5.
All right. We've talked about the Wentz situation. Obviously got off to a great start. But look, he's a young quarterback. So where have you seen the growth that his season has gone along? Where maybe, they got off to a great start, he played well, but where is he better now?
I think just in looking guys off and working the progressions, he's always been pretty good at that. A lot of people say he regressed against Seattle. I'm not a quarterback guru, and I don't look at the film. I didn't see that. I saw a kid who battled against a team where probably the 11 guys he was facing were better than 9 of the guys that were on his side. And, you would expect to get the results you did. I like the way he runs the offense. He always seems in control of things. And I think that's a growth. I really look forward to the day when he can have some legitimate weapons at his disposal to really get some things done, take the top off of defense. That's where I think his growth will be, I don't want to say minimal, but I think there's only so much you can do with the talent they have at the skill position. And when you look at tonight, they're not going to have Ryan Matthews. Darren Sproles is going to play, but he's got a busted rib. They are very limited skill position wise. So I think his growth will really start to come from what he is now going forward when they really start to add some pieces around him. Or I should say his growth will come. I think it will really be accelerated once they start to add some significant pieces around him.
This is one of those games where I've watched Green Bay in recent weeks when I've watched them. I've noticed the center of the field has been wide open because their secondary is really struggling right now. Is this a game where the tight end suddenly can take off?
You would hope so, and, it should be a big game for Jordan Matthews. He's the best of the bunch at that wide receiver position.
Yep.
But the tight end specifically, I watched some of that game. They played Tennessee a couple weeks ago. Tennessee was just ripping off chunks of yardage, 25, 30 yards at a time. And, Marcus Mariota is really good, but that's also not a group of skill position guys that you look at and go, there's a ton of game changers there, especially on the outside. So I agree with you. The secondary, I think they're on their fifth and sixth cornerbacks
that are
starting. Their top four are down.
Mm-hmm.
The safety play has been subpar. So, it would all be there. People have been talking about how Carson Wentz kind of needs a breakout game here over the last few weeks. On paper, everything would point to this being it.
What's interesting is that when you look at the Eagles have played very well, but they're also a team that right now is last. Because the Redskins have played well, the Cowboys have been off the charts, and the Giants are back to playing well. How tough has that been to try and make some sort of ascension in a division where everybody has ascended?
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's, you kind of look at that 0-3 division record, and you look at those three games. We mentioned the Redskins game they lost earlier. The Giants game was there for the taking. The Giants did everything possible to give the Eagles that game in the fourth quarter, and the Eagles refused to take it.
Right.
And then there's that Dallas game where the Eagles are up 10 points and look to be in control in 8 minutes with 8 minutes left, and then all of a sudden the roof caves in, and they lose that game in overtime. So it is not crazy to say that, they are two games away from being in second place in this division. But you are what you are. I think it's better the Giants, for the records are what they are. But from what I've seen, Washington is a team that I look at that dynamic, much more complete team, which surprises me because I thought they were the weakest group coming in. I'm constantly surprised at how the Giants continue to win games.
Well, I look at the same thing. I know we lost Matt. We're going to get him right back in a moment. But it's the same thing I've looked at with the Giants. The Giants, you know they have Eli Manning. You know they have Beckham. I think Cruz has played better. They don't have much of a running game. Their offensive line is banged up to beat the band. Defensively, they got a couple of guys that can really play. Yet the Giants, whose margin of error... Now, remember, the Giants last year were a team that lost a series of games last year in the final 5 minutes. This year, the Giants are a team, after losing a series of games last year in the final 5 minutes, and they lost a lot of games in the last 5 minutes last year, now winning those games in the final 5 minutes. So it's like they're right in that margin of error area.
Yeah, and I think they're very beatable. I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think it's going to happen, but I look at that Giants team, and I think they could easily lose out. They could easily finish 8-8. Like you said, they are right on that razor's edge. And it's just interesting to me how they keep finding a way. And as you said, whereas in the recent past, it had been the other way around. But, you know, what this shows you, the whole division's good. And the way these teams in this division are built, Dallas obviously is good now. And Dallas, on paper, is locked in to be good for quite some time. The Eagles are ascending.
No doubt.
Washington is ascending. The Giants, I think, are probably at their apex simply because of the quarterback position. Who knows how much longer Eli's going to be able to play at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might be in a complete rebuild mode. But it's a tough division right now. It's probably the toughest in the NFL.
Is Wentz's consistent play where you just sit back and marvel at him every week, like, look at this guy, he's a rookie quarterback out of North Dakota State, has that really made the city just, okay, I know they're 5-5, but you know what, look at that guy, we're going to be in good shape down the road? Is that really about what the attitude has been there?
For the most part, it's kind of been put out of whack because of the 3-0 start.
Yeah.
Where that kind of changed expectations for the fan base, were specifically that Steelers game. And I think we talked about how that Steelers game kind of changed everything. And now that we've got the context of an entire season, you kind of look at it and go, well, that win probably wasn't quite as impressive as we thought, because the Steelers have shown to be quite mortal on the road. But for the most part, I think no matter what happens this season and no matter what happens week to week, you know, after people rant about how frustrated they are about a loss, kind of the last sentence is, hey, but at least Wentz is going to keep getting better. We've got him for the next 10 years.
Right, exactly. Should be an interesting one tonight, and I agree with you. I think the Eagles have to be considered the favorite right now, that, you know, playing at home especially. So, Matt, great to hear you on the other end. Appreciate the time as always.
My pleasure. Take care.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. Next hour, Seth Greenberg of ESPN. We'll continue to talk Penn State football in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Take a moment to breathe deeply. Clear your mind and consider your surroundings. Notice the sights and sounds, the scents and textures, every sensation. Are you where you want to be? You can redirect your path at any time. After all, life isn't scripted. It's not about winning the race. It's a journey towards your personal best. And that is the ultimate destination. And the all-new 2017 Lincoln Continental is the vehicle to take you there. You deserve this. Nestle into the serene cabin and surround yourself with the reassuring strength of its forms. From its intuitive ease of the 30-way front seat controls to the exceptional collection of amenities. Continental invites everyone to experience the journey in an elegant new way. Sunbury Motors Lincoln will be there for you and your Lincoln whenever, wherever you need it. Stop in today and experience this impressive vehicle for yourself at Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Purchase any new Lincoln in the month of November and receive one complete detail each year for the next 4 years. Sunbury Motors Lincoln, making American luxury affordable. Check out our inventory at sunburylincoln.com.
Okay, Seth Greenberg next half hour, or next hour, I should say. He'll be on at, what, 4:35? Does that sound right, Sean?
That is correct, sir.
Right. This is, obviously, with everything that's going on, for some odd reason, I have a lot of talk show requests this week. I don't know why. Oh, well, that's a different story. I don't think people know what to make of Penn State. And I don't think people realize how good Penn State is. And I think that's the primary analytical problem here. The primary analytical problem is this. Because it is unexpected, people don't know how good Penn State is. And that, I think, is entering into why, well, they can't do this, they can't do that. They're not good enough to do this, they're not good enough to do that. Well, that's because I don't think anybody knows how good they are. And I think they're actually really, really good, and I've kind of thought that for a long time. Now, I'm just basing that on my experience here because I've been around some really good teams over the years. And this one has all the qualities of the teams that I've looked at over time.
Well, I finally heard a talking head this morning. He's got no affiliation to Penn State whatsoever. And he didn't sugarcoat it. He cut right to the chase. Hey, Penn State beat Ohio State. If they win this weekend, without question, they should automatically be in the Final Four. Lock, stock, and barrel.
We'll see. I just, everything's a weekly snapshot. I'm not going to get into the who should I think should be in the Final Four and so forth. I think I want to see everything and how it plays out here. Obviously, Alabama has to play. Clemson has to play. Washington has to play. Penn State and Wisconsin have to play. But Ohio State and Michigan don't have to play. So they don't have to risk any longer who they are. And based on the fact that Michigan's lost two of its last three, it would be a greater risk for them. One quick note about Jim Harbaugh. Obviously, after the game, he had a lot to say about the officiating. Okay. Look, his team lost an emotional game. I get it. And Michigan fans, they're complaining about the officiating. It's an emotional game. You didn't win. I get it. But I did not watch enough of the game. My goodness, if I watched a quarter of it, that would be. If I watched a quarter of it, then maybe. I mean, everything else I'm basing is on highlights, so I apologize for that. But I don't think I have anything to apologize for. I was sort of doing something else. So I watched the SportsCenter version where they had the comments interspersed with the highlights of the plays he's upset about. And I can understand how he felt about the pass interference plays. But in my opinion, he has zero argument on the fourth down play. None. That's one play, for example, because we had it on in the back of the booth, but ironically, we were in a commercial break. So I looked back and I said, oh, Jack, look, they're going for it on fourth down. And then Barrett gets to the 15-yard line, and everybody looked at it. So they said, well, all right, he got it. He kept it alive. Not by much, but, yeah, he got it. That's how we felt in real time. In other words, I don't think he remotely has an argument on that one, on the spot of the ball. Barrett's carrying the ball high. He gets hit at the 15. That one, no, he's off base on that one. Now, the other ones, yeah. But you know what? His team didn't foul up at the 1 yard. I mean, his team fouled up at the 1 yard line. His team threw an interception that was run back for a touchdown deep in their own end. His team threw another interception to set up points. I mean, they're the ones that made the mistakes.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.